Bit of chill. Sorry, it's getting warm, but I find it's not. So before we start, shall we bow our head and have a word of prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for this wonderful privilege we can study your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to our heart, and may we have all your word filled in our heart, and may we have the humble heart to receive all this word. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The coming Sunday will be the Palm Sunday, and I may share some of the message to the seekers. But tonight, I will focus on this word, Palm Sunday word, but in a different angle. Maybe help us to think about. As a believer, what to look at this moment when Lord Jesus glorily walked into the Jerusalem. Shall we turn to John chapter 12? John chapter 12 and verse 12. John chapter 12 and verse 12, that's the moment Lord Jesus went into the Jerusalem, and we'll study from verse 12 to verse 36. And in the first section, I will read verse 12 to verse 19. The scripture said, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" Yet in the verse 12, it said, "Next day a great multitude had come to the feast." When they heard that Jesus was coming for Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out. So this cried out, this was a prayer, right? Just like we sang this beautiful hymn, we cry out, "Lord, do not pass me by." So these people, they heard about Jesus was coming. So they rush out and they cried out, "Hosanna." Hosanna means they just beg Jesus to save me, help me. So this is a cried out for salvation. So we all know the end of the story, right? In about 5 days, they also cried out, "Crucify him." It's sometimes if you just watch from the movie, you may not believe, right? How come these things will happen? Why now they cried out, "Hosanna"? So seemingly they're also in their humble heart, right? Help me and save me. But they're really offended 5 days later. We all know that in these 5 days, Lord Jesus, when he enter into the Jerusalem, actually he did not go to the palace of the Roman the soldiers. So he did not just drive those Roman soldiers out of the city and save so-called save Jews out of Romans from the Romans. No. He went to the temple, right? He drive out those dealers, right? Traders, right? He did drive out somebody, right? But not drive out soldiers. He drive out those traders in the temple, right? That's really a surprise to many, many people on that day, cried out, Hosanna. And then in verse 14, then Jesus, when he had found a donkey, young donkey, actually a colt, you may wonder why a young donkey, right? Yeah, maybe we can turn to Judges 10. Judges 10 and verse 4. Judges 10 and verse 4. Now he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They also had 30 tongues. They called Havothea to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. So 30 sons, 30 donkeys. And actually, I think this is also young donkey. In chapter 12, in chapter 12 and verse 14, chapter 12 and verse 14, chapter 12, the same book, chapter 12 and verse 14. And in verse 13, after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judge Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. Why I listed these verses? These 70 sons and grandsons, they are young, right? I'm not saying they are youth or maybe children. Actually, they are young. The father is old, and the 70 descendants. So we know that 70, this number 70 from Jacob's family, right, went to Egypt and then multiplied to the whole nation. And then Holy Spirit through Moses selected 70 elders to rule the whole nation. So 70, we understand in the Old Testament, that means the leaders of men, of those Jews. Somehow here, these 70 sons or grandsons, you can have a picture in the mind. They are all the leaders, right? Even on those days of Judges. Actually, they are riding on a young donkey. That's a bit of not matching your picture of a leader, right? You think they should ride on horses, right? 70 strong men, 70 horses, right? How come 70 strong men on 70 young donkeys, right? That's not in line with people's standard of strength or people's sort of the king. Now here comes the real one. Okay, we all understand that the Old Testament is just a shadow. It's just a picture. We all know that every Old Testament, the picture pointed to the real one. His name is Jesus. So the real one came. He also was a son, right? So 40 sons, 30 grandsons. Yeah, they're real one. He's also a son. We also call him Son of Man, right? And he was also riding a young donkey. He was so humble, right? how to be a leader. So through these 70 judges, we understand to be a leader is not to show how strong you are. Right? And we understand that if you read all the book of Judges, probably immense definition, the strongest one, Samson, right? Samson was the one who killed all the enemies only by himself, by his own hand, not by an army, by his own hand. Oh, so strong. But actually, spiritually, he probably was the weakest one, right? So we all understand that in God's plan, the true Savior, the final who came riding on a donkey, he is the one humble himself. He is the one truly humble to the bottom of the bottom. And he is the one truly answered all the prayer. Cried out, Hosanna. He truly answered that. But we didn't understand. We don't understand. That's a pity. He answered that. But in a way, not actually beyond the understanding of those days Israelites. So he showed his heart. He came riding on a donkey. He came to cleanse the temple. So, and then when in verse 17, therefore the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. So why people rushed to him? Because everyone knew this one is different. What's the difference between Lazarus' miracle? Because this is the only one in the whole Bible that died for 4 days and come back to life. No way, right? In the whole Old Testament, only I think 3 dead people was raised up. 1 by Elijah and 2 by Elisha, right? But now, 4 days. 4 days actually corrupted the body. And more than that, this could be the peak of the miracle. I mean, the miracle is earthly. Earthly is those things we as flesh cared about, right? Maybe I'm blind, I want to see, right? I'm a leper, I want to be healed. I'm dead. And come back out of the grave. Oh, that's good. I'm dead. I'm really dead. Dead for 4 days. Lazarus is a pig. So everyone now rushed to Jesus. He's the one that can really save us out of the hand of Romans. So people went to him. When people heard about Lazarus, people went to him, and even to an extent, really made those Pharisees frustrated, almost abandoned their hope, right? Said, look, the world has gone after him. Now it's the end of our time. So you know what? If Lord Jesus, on those days, on those 5 days, he did not go to the temple and cleanse the temple, drive out of those traders. He just kicked the Pontius Pilate out of the city. He will be the king. I mean, Lord Jesus. Yeah. He would definitely be the king, right? No one will oppose him. Pharisees definitely will meet their end. But what Lord Jesus responds to this? Let's move on in verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone saves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, here comes some Gentile, Greek. Greeks is in the New Testament always represents the Gentile, right? We understand in Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think, he said Jews and Greeks, right? Which means Jews and Gentiles, right? So in nowadays, this modern world, those things we boast in front of the God, all we can trace back to Greek, right? Science, sports, right? Music, a lot of things, yeah. Those worldly things we worship, Greek is the source, the ancestor. So here comes some Gentile. Why Lord Jesus heard that some Gentile was seeking him? He had this a grain of wheat, wonderful teaching to us. We all are familiar with this, right? Lord Jesus was talking about his death. Why he did not talk about this a grain of wheat in front of the Jews? Why to Greeks? So we understand that in this moment, Lord Jesus already preached the message of gospel for about 3.5 years to the whole nation. And he showed the whole nation many miracles. Unfortunately, the whole nation still made the decision that I only want the earthly blessing. Think about this. If every one of us in this room, Lord Jesus, all raised up after we died for 4 days, is that a great miracle? He said, yes, definitely. But if we did not believe in his salvation, he died for our sins, we did not want that, would we die? We still will die, right? Where is Lazarus? Where? He's not in this world. Lazarus also died. So no one can keep any earthly blessings forever. So that's the point. That's the point that makes the difference. These Greeks, they come a long way. You know what? The Greeks actually, they know they're not deserved, right? We all know that famous story, right? A Canaan lady prayed for her daughter. And Lord Jesus said, well, cannot give the blessings of the sons to the dog, the little dog, right? We all know that the Gentile at that age feel that we are not deserved. That famous centurion, yeah. He felt he's not deserved. These Greeks also, they came, they want to know about Jesus and him crucified. They want to know the salvation, the truth of salvation. So Lord Jesus answered them. Lord Jesus tell them the salvation came from death and the resurrection. So this one grain, a grain of wheat fall into ground, is just a beautiful, beautiful picture. We know that if you have a grain of wheat and you truly want to keep that, it's just that. A grain of wheat, there's life in it. But this life will be a true life only if you put that into the ground, right? So that first life become true, right? Otherwise, it's dead, right? Can you see this grain of wheat is life? No, it's just dead. Until what? Until you put that into ground. And more than that, when you put that into ground, it will not just be one life. It will be multiplied to many lives, right? Lord Jesus, in this way, gave us the true answer of prayer. When you say Hosanna, you cried out, Lord Jesus did not pass you by. But in a way, maybe not understood by those Jews for the time being. So the message was delivered, and then in verse 27, Lord Jesus made a prayer by himself. He said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Oh, this is a beautiful prayer. In this prayer, we see that Lord Jesus, he chose to sacrifice himself. This is not something he was forced to do, right? He truly understood what the crucifixion means to him. So I you may correct me. That's my personal understanding. I don't think when Lord Jesus talk about the trouble, the things trouble him, was those sufferings on the cross, but those burden, the judgment of sin, crushed to him, or on those 3 hours of darkness put on top of him. He buried the judgment of the whole mankind, every one of us. That's something really beyond our understanding. You know, sometimes I really cannot think or meditate or pray to the Lord, ask Holy Spirit to tell me about those dark 3 hours. The only message I can get is, Lord, on purpose or just planned to just cover this and show us the darkness. The reason is, this is true cost. So just like a mom or a dad, he or she may want to do something for the child. But when he want to show the child, means this thing, actually the cost is still not that high. If the cost is huge, he may cover the eye of the children. Is that true? Right? Can you see the love? What troubled Lord's heart? Right. We cannot say, okay, crucifixion is really, really suffering. You know what? Peter also was crucified. If anything a man can bear, don't tell me that's a high cost. I'm not saying Peter is not high cost. Definitely I'm not deserved to have this grace from Lord. But Peter is still man. This is not just the crucifixion. This is the cost of sin. But you know what? He said, but for this purpose I came to this hour. For this purpose. Just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord Jesus also prayed. And he also showed really this troubled heart, but he still chose to die for us. What a love. And then in verse 30, let's jump to the verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Here we see that two important points. One is verse 30. He not only saved us on the cross, he also judged Satan and evil at the same moment, right? So here we find that in the New Testament, why we are so blessed. Actually, Satan already was beaten. The triumph already be won, right? Just like Satan, just like scorpion, seemingly still scaring, but actually is harmless. Right. He cannot hurt you anymore. He's just dead spiritually. So here we see that when Lord Jesus, he was put on the cross, he saved us and he judged the king of this world. And after this, he used the word draw, right? In verse 32, will draw all people to myself. Why draw? Draw means he show you the truth and wait for your choice. That's draw, right? He show you his love. So crucifixion on the cross is such a miracle, such a grace, that many things point to, at that point showed up to the peak, right? Love to the peak, salvation to the perfect, right? And judgment to the perfect. Everything good. That's why he said it is finished. Why it is finished? Truly finished. Think about this. If I'm a father, how can I show my love to my daughter? How? I want to give her things she need, right? And things I can give, right? Maybe I can give her maybe a meal, or maybe a car, or maybe some money. And again, I can give. Until I give what? I give her myself, my life. And you know what? After that, I have nothing to give. That's the peak. That's the end. That's everything what I can say. That's everything I can give. So on the cross, that moment, Lord Jesus will say to everyone in this world, everyone include from that day till today, although almost 2,000 years passed, all these people, billions of people, we are facing this invitation of love. So he drew us to him. He did not force us. But what he gave us, you cannot find in this world. It's not something we can get through our experience or through our knowledge. This can only be get through faith. Why? How can I know? He said in verse 32, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. How could everyone trust a person was lifted up? The only way is faith. He showed us all the wonderful miracles when he was alive. But all of a sudden, he was lifted up on the cross. What should we do? We say, oh, what a surprise. Bye-bye. See you next time. What a pity. This is not definitely not a reasonable choice, right? Although this actually was the response of those Jews. They quickly changed their mind within 5 days. So here, what's the point here? Lord said, you see, he is the light, right? In verse 34, people started to get confused, right? In verse 34, the people answered him, we have heard from the Lord that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? I'm totally lost. I'm totally confused. I thought you are the one. You are the Messiah. You even can raise up that person. You can do everything. But this everything, I define that. It's according to my expectation. This is beyond our knowledge. So this is something, this is some lesson that the Lord is still teaching me today, even for today. And I believe this in my life. You know what? This is revelation. Revelation means God always teaches us something that beyond our understanding, right? Yeah. Sometimes I will explain to some seekers or some unbelievers, what's the meaning of revelation? I said, just like when you are a child, you really don't understand what's the definition of electricity, right? Right? But your mom will tell you, don't touch that little hole, that outlet. You'll be dead. And you are so curious about that. And actually, you don't believe. And you touch, you'll be dead. But if your mom tries to explain to you, you need the knowledge of high school, at least, right? How can I explain electricity to a three-year-old? No way, right? How Lord Jesus explained all this to the Jews with almost 2,000 years of knowledge of law? No way, right? Even Nicodemus is get confused. Nicodemus is the teacher of teachers. The only way, believe. You believe in your mom. Now why do you believe in your mom? Because of all the grace she showed you in your life, right? She cooked for you. She hugged you. She accompanied you when you are sick, right? She did all this grace until that moment. She said, don't touch that hole, that little hole. Will kill you. Yeah. Now, and Lord Jesus explained to them in the same way in verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. This is the end of this long message. Finally, Lord Jesus said what? Believe, right? Believe what? Believe light. Who is light? He was the light. How can we understand if Son of Man was lifted up, he would draw the people to him? Believing him. Just follow him. If he said he needs to be crucified, that's true. If he said today, in our Christian life, he will do this, that's true. How can I argue to him? Say, no, Lord, I don't understand. No need for me to understand and obey, right? We follow him, and then maybe one day I may understand. And if not, finally, I will meet with him in heaven. On that day, I will understand. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this wonderful message. He is the one not only save us, And also help us, bless us, love us, sanctify us, Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Lord, may we all say, Lord, I want to believe in you. Lord, help us getting out of this confusion like those old days, the Jews. Help us to have the humble heart and receive Jesus into our heart and follow him day by day. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.